God is good. So, you know, I hope by now you've gotten a revelation of what being saved really means in your life. You know, for me, it was an instant change of directions in my life. Instant, I mean instant change. Hallelujah. The next morning after I got saved, everything was just new. It was just brand new. Delivered from everything that I was in bondage to. Had a new insight on life. It's just new. And it's been that way for 44 years. And I just thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. So don't believe the lies that the devil say, well, you just got to do it. You know, whatever that thing is you're doing, and you know it's not right. You don't have to do it. You know, the only reason you're still doing it is because you haven't let it go. If you let it go, God will just take it away all the time. We've been talking about debt-free living here for the last few weeks. And today what I want to do is give you some what I call the building blocks of debt cancellation. I know there's probably at least one of you that's in some sort of debt right now. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. But I know that there's at least one here that's in debt. And I know that there's at least one that want to be out of debt. Let me give you some good news. Debt was never designed for us. Amen. Let me say that again. Debt was never designed for us. I'm talking about saved folks. Yeah. I was trying to search the scriptures where God told somebody just to go borrow something and pay back on time. You know, it's not us. It's the way the world works. And it's a mechanism designed to make somebody some money. And that somebody is not us. If you're buying a car, listen to me now. If you're buying a car for, let's just say, at the low end, $17,000, the reality is if you get it on debt, you're probably going to wind up paying at least $24,000, maybe $25,000 for that car. Amen. You say, well, where's the rest of that money go? Well, I tell you, go in somebody's pocket.
That's right.
God never meant for you and I to be bound down with debt. He meant for us to get saved, and he made an opportunity for us to get saved and get delivered from death. But from that moment on, what God really wants is for us to just live debt-free.
Amen.
To where you don't owe anybody anything. Amen. And he talks to the church, and we see examples of people in the body of Christ and people within the realm of God that loans money. You just go into Proverbs and you'll see that. Well, folks just loan money, but the money come back without any interest.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
To buy that $17,000 car and only pay $17,000 for it?
Amen.
But that won't happen in our culture because somebody wants to make money off us. Well, I want to announce to you today now, listen, we're going to be debt-free, folks. Is that all right?
Amen.
From here on out, debt-free. Just debt free. Debt free. Just debt free. I remember when that thing just became a reality to me. You know, we had debts, we had bills, we had this loan. Now I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. Amen.
Amen.
We had all this stuff, and I just woke up and said, what in the world am I doing?
Amen.
You know, I was paying, we've always paid our debt on time. But there was very little left over. Mm-hmm. I said, well, where's the money for the cruises?
Amen.
Where's the money to go to Captain George?
Amen.
It wasn't there. Because somebody else was saying, I want your money, mm-hmm. honey.
That's right.
And we were obligated to give it to him because we had gotten in the debt. But I want to let you know right now, so you have no excuse, that has never been God's way of doing things. Never, ever been God's way of doing things. Now, God's not mad at us when we get in debt, because he tells us things to do if you're in debt. He's not mad at you for that. But listen, you'll never enjoy that free life or that freedom in life financially until you understand that, until you believe it, until you walk in it. See, some of us don't believe, listen, some of us don't believe that we can get a house with no money. God just give you a house. But God has done that to folks right here in this church.
Amen.
Some of us don't believe, listen, I need a car. Some of us don't believe that God can just give you a car.
Amen.
But it's happened to folks right here in this church.
Yeah. Amen.
We say, no, you don't come like that. I better get in debt. No, you don't have to get in debt. You don't have to get in debt. You don't have to get in debt. You know, not at all. I told God, listen, all right. Once I understood that and my eyes opened up to it, I said, all right, God, I don't want to have to ride another car that I owe somebody some money on.
Amen.
I said, I don't want to do that no more. He said, all right. I like when God say, all right. He said, all right. He said, go for it. And so he just provided a way for us to pay off the cars that we had.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You'd be surprised once you open your eyes and come to the reality of what this whole thing is all about, what God can do for you. And he don't do it so that you and I can just have a bunch of stuff. He does it so that we can be free. And the reason why he don't want you in debt is because when God wants you to do something, he wants you to be free to do it, especially when it comes to something financial. I told you a few weeks ago how God works. And the way he works is he always gives you something first before he asks something back from you. When I'm talking finances now, all right? If he wants you to give to something, he will always give you something first so that you are able to give when the time comes when he said give to this person or to this mission or to whatever. But when he gives us stuff, if we have to just take it and give it back to somebody we are in debt to, then when God's time for you to bless somebody or to do something financially, you won't be in a position to do it. You don't want your children saddled in debt. Why do you think God wants his children saddled in debt?
Amen.
God doesn't want that. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free so that whenever he tells you to do something financially, you know, you can just do it. You can just do it. I hadn't planned on telling this testimony, but I'll tell it now. You know, there's a lady down in Portsmouth, I believe she lives in Portsmouth or Chesapeake area, somewhere down in there. I've known her for a good while. She's an elderly lady. When I say elderly, she's older than me. Amen. She's an elderly lady, and I've known her for a good while from a church back in Norfolk. And she was going through some things. You know, her husband had died, and she didn't get the money she thought she was going to go through. And God just put it on her heart and to call this lady. And I called her. And, you know, I call her from time to time anyway. But I called her, you know, and while I was talking to her, God said, give her $1,000. I said, maybe I ought to use the other phone. So I shared with my wife, before I told that lady anything, I shared with my wife after the conversation and hung up, and I shared with my wife what I thought God was saying. She said, okay, we both had a piece and we did it. You know, we called her back and arranged for her to get the money, and we just did it. You know, just gave her $1,000. And we wouldn't have been able to do that had we been knee-deep in debt.
Amen, amen.
Are you with me?
That's right.
We wouldn't have been able to do it if every dime that came in went out to somebody else's pocket.
That's right.
You know? And I didn't do it because I'm a good guy. I did it because God say, give the lady $1,000. I did not call that lady to give her $1,000. I probably wouldn't have made the call. Are you with me?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Sometimes you could be talking to somebody, and God says, all right, bless them with that.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that's when you try to, you know, block those ears up, you know, and your mouth goes, blah, blah, blah. And that person said, what are you saying? I'm blah, blah, blah. This is real life, folks. Your daddy got it. But he always gives it to you first before he'll ask you to give. But what he if what he gives you goes out to debt, then when the time comes for you to actually act upon what he wants you to do financially, you won't be able to do it.
Amen.
So I want you to repeat this for me. I'm out of debt.
My needs are met.
And I have plenty more to put in store. Hallelujah. 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 Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Hallelujah. Don't you want to live debt-free? Hallelujah. Now, when I'm talking about living debt-free, I'm really not talking about real estate. You can get some real estate free, but most of us are not at that point where we can really believe for that. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying the reality of life. Amen. But real estate, you know, you can always sell the real estate, get the money back or whatever. Amen. But if you go out and you buy a $17,000 car and try to sell it the next day, you might get five or six. You might get $5,000 or $6,000 for it. But real estate normally goes up in value. So if you're for some real estate, you know, you can hold on to it till it's paid off or whatever. You know, because at any time, if you need to sell it, you sell it and you get more than what you pay for it. So that's not what I consider debt. You know, not at all. But you don't want even to have that if you don't have to have that. But God is a good God all the time. I wish somebody would believe this today. Amen. Hallelujah, that you're out of debt, your needs are met. Hallelujah. And you got plenty more. Plenty more to put in store. Today I want to talk about the building blocks. Because everything has building blocks. Everything has a composition to it. It's to get to that point. The building blocks of debt cancellation. How do I get out of this debt? What are the things I got to do here to get out of it? Well, first of all, you need to realize that it's time to do things God's way. Amen? It's time, hallelujah, it's time to do things God's way. Hallelujah. I don't know when we've been in debt last, maybe a few years ago, I don't know. You know, but it's a good feeling not to be in debt. It's just a good feeling not to be in debt. You know, and even our ministry, I mean, we have real estate loans that we own out there, but we've never been behind. We've never been late. We've never been whatever. If anything, we've always paid more. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, it doesn't take 5,000 people to do that. Only just takes one God. Amen. That's all it takes is one God. One God, one God, one God, one God. God is a good God all the time. Let me take you to Luke chapter 14 when I talk about it's time to do things God's way. And we're going to look at verse 28 through 30 because I got to get into this thing. It says, for which of you intended to build a tower, sit it not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. See, getting out of debt is like building a house. What you have to do, first of all, is gather all the materials together before you begin. It don't just happen. It's a waste of time to start something and then must stop that thing simply because you don't have the necessary supplies to finish the job. That's just a waste of time. And I think you will agree with me on that. Most people begin the process of what I call supernatural debt cancellation or debt release without considering the amount of work that needs to be done. They say, well, the pastor said, just say it, just believe it, I'm going on. Well, everybody say, well, there's a little bit more to it. Amen. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Most people begin the process, and once again, of supernatural debt release without considering the amount of work that's involved there. It's not fair for you to expect something for nothing. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
It's just not fair. And a lot of times people do that. They say, well, I go to church, and people, and I can hear the spiritual world saying, so what? So what? Remember that story of the seven sons of Sceva? They went up against those demons. And say, come on. And they say, in the name of, I command you. And the demons say, wait a minute, wait. I know those other guys, but I don't know you. And the Bible said those demons jumped on these seven sons. Beat them naked. But that's how it is when you're confessing salvation, you're confessing to be walking with God, but you're really not. All you're doing is going to church. And you say, well, why am I not receiving some of these benefits? Because you're not saved. Hello? Because you're not saved. That's just the reality of that thing. The great thing about life is that no matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in, there's always a way out, including deep debt. There's always a way out. I'm telling you, and I've said it again, you can't play this thing. Amen. Dress up in your finest. Hello. Step in church looking good, but not saved. It don't mean nothing. Number one, you'll never reap the benefits of being saved. And number two, you're going to hell. Which one of those you want? That's reality, folks. I believe it's time for the church to wake up.
Amen.
To the reality of this day. There's always a way out. How you know? Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the word of God says this. There has no temptation taken you, but, everybody say but. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation. Look at this part. Always, everybody say always.
Always
make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There's always a way out. He said, I'm going to make a way out. He said, well, you don't know about my debt. God said, your debt. God's still laughing at you. Your debt. God can snap his fingers. God can give you one idea. God can bring one person into your life. God can open one door and your debt is gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Stop crying about your debt. Amen. I think sometimes we want a miracle. We want a miracle. Okay, I'm going to go to church six times. Then I'm going to get my miracle. It don't work like that. You're either a child of God or you're not. Well, what does it mean to be a child of God? That means a child of God will do what God say do. A child of God will say what God say. A child of God will go where God say go. Amen. Hallelujah. A child of God is just subject to whatever God wants. I mentioned that thing before. You and I don't have a choice as to what local congregation we belong to. We don't have a choice about that. I don't know why you're here. Only God knows why you're here. And if you leave, I don't know why you left. Only God will know that. But I can tell you the only legitimate reason to be here is that God say, that's where I want you right now. I say that, and I've said that a bunch of times. I don't think that thing really clicked in people's heart because we're raised in a culture, you know, where we kind of pick where we want to be. We kind of do our thing. We go where our mama go, and our sister go, and our brother and our cousin go. We go where our good friend go. No, it's time now for all of us to go where God tell us to go. Do what God tell us to do. Say what God tell us to say. Buy what God tell us to buy.
Amen.
Not what looks good to you. Amen. Oh, this thing is real, folks. God has given you tools to get whatever it is you need in life. Hallelujah. I'm living the best life I've ever lived in my life. In my life. In my life. Grew up in the housing project. Listen, at the age of 17, I was working, washing dishes for $1 an hour. So I knew what lack was. So now I can shout. Can you shout today? Hallelujah. Now I can say, this is what living's all about. God is a good God all the time, folks. You know, the most powerful tool, when I talk about God giving you a tool to get whatever you want, the most powerful tool at your disposal is found less than 2 inches from the tip of your nose, and that tool is your mouth. That tool is what comes out of your mouth. Using your mouth to create some things. See, since we were made in God's image, we were created to reshape our situation and circumstances just like God. And every time God wanted to change something, the Bible said, he said. He said. He said. You say, well, preacher, where do you get that from? Well, let's just start at Genesis 1 and 9. In Genesis 1 and 9, the verse says, and God said, everybody saying, God said. Now, that's your part, right? He said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And the Bible says, and it was so. Genesis 1:11. You say your part. He said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding after fruit of his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Genesis 1:24. You say your part. Man, he makes it so easy. Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Now, through all, and I just picked a few verses here, but through all of that, we see the results of God saying things. We see the results in Genesis 1:31, where it says, now instead of saying, and God said, it says, and God saw. It was there. He said it, and now he can see it. Amen. Now he can feel it. Now he can touch it. Now he can taste it. And God saw everything that he had made. How did he make it? By saying it. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the mornings were the... He didn't have a factory. Well, come on now. He didn't have a fruit factory where he manifests fruits. He didn't have a fish factory where he manifests the first fish. He did not. The Bible says, and God said. And the Bible, as I told God, I said, God, you have the nerve to say that we are made after your own image. Oh, somebody gonna get that. Amen. Come on. You say, well, preacher, why I got what I got? You got what you got because of what you've been saying. My children ain't going to never be no good. My spouse will never love me. I'll never get out of debt. Come on now. Come on. God spoke everything into existence. He took the invisible matter and made it visible. And then he says, I made you after my own image. Oh, man, that's going to get somebody after a while. That's why I told you earlier, I don't know how long ago, I told you, listen to me now, that we will not lose one. We will not lose one. Amen? You got a child, grandchild, great-grandchild, come on now, that's acting stupid? Hallelujah. And the devil say, yeah, I got this one going to hell. I say, no, that will not happen. We will not lose one. And we will keep saying that, amen? Amen? You got a husband, a wife, a cousin, a niece, a nephew, an aunt, an uncle, whoever, mama, daddy, grandma, whoever. We will not lose one. Hallelujah. 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 Not one. Nah, God is a good God all by himself. God used spiritual building blocks to manifest what he wanted to come forth in the physical realm. And that's what we have to do. You see, in order to get out of debt, and that's what we're talking about here today, you must follow God's example in Genesis 1 and call things that are not.
As though they were.
What bill you want paid off?
All of them.
Well, you're going to have to give them a name, amen? You're going to have to call them the car bill. Come on now. You're going to have to call them the clothes bill.
Amen.
You're going to have to call them the credit card bill. You got to give them a name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You, life, come on. Whatever the bill is, you got, come on. Ah. Call things that are not. Hallelujah. Car bill paid. Paid. Car bill gone. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm not talking about magic. So I'm saying you can't just say the words, but in your heart you want to keep the money. When God gives you the money, you got to let that thing get rid of that bill. Just get, come on now. God is a good God all the time. Let me take you to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead. And look at this last part. And called those things which be not. You, listen, if you got saved, you don't know what you've stepped into.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You don't know what you stepped into. You don't know. You don't know what you stepped into. You just don't know what you stepped into. Hallelujah. I remember some time ago, maybe about a year ago, you know, we got a thrift store. The church has a thrift store, you know, here in the Hosky, and we were paying rent on that thrift store. And I said, God, I said, we got a family resource center. We got a child care center. You know, we got a church. And, you know, we're not renting any of this stuff. Why am I renting this thrift store? And I could just hear the voice of God. He said, because you haven't decided to stop renting. Now, I don't know about you, but I just talked to God. I mean, you know, he already knows that I'm not wrapped totally right. So he just talks to me. And when he talks to me, I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. He said, you haven't decided to stop paying rent. Amen. Now, God was the one that told us to open the thrift store. It wasn't no committee or nothing. So we did it, and it's been successful for 4 years. But he said, as soon as you decide you ain't going to pay rent, then I'm going to do the next thing. So as soon as I decided, listen to me now, as soon as I decided, look, this is the last year we're paying some rent. Now all of a sudden the building come up and April 30th that building be ours.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
It'll be ours. And the building has about 4 to 5 times as much space as the present space.
Amen.
But it'll be ours.
Yes, Lord.
So God said, why do my people do this? I said, God, because that's all I know to do. He said, well, just get in my word. I'll show you some other things. That has never been God's thing for us.
Amen.
Never. Never. Never, ever, ever. Never. Let me just share 3 building blocks that you got to have in place for debt cancellation. See, because the spiritual building block for debt cancellation, they must come straight out of the Bible. You can't make them up. They got to come out of God's word. Isn't God so good that he left his word for us?
Yes,
you and I don't have to be fighting about what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
Amen. God's already told us what to do. There's 3 building blocks for debt cancellation. God's word, your faith, and your confession. God's word, your faith, and your confession. Let me say it a third time. God's word, your faith, and your confession. First of all, looking at God's word, I'm going to take you to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And the scripture reads this way. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper. It shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. See, brothers and sisters, listen to me now. Nowhere in the scripture does it say our words will achieve anything. It's God's words. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's God's words that's going to do the work. It's God's word that changes things.
Amen.
So let me tell you something. I can say with confidence when I say this, very few of us are spending any kind of considerable time in the word of God. Most confessing Christians only know, and I won't even say, only get exposed to the word of God when they go to a Sunday service or a Christian service. But God left that for you and I. The word of God will change your life.
Amen.
You can't believe something you don't know. I would suggest, just as a suggestion, you know, that we develop a habit of getting in the word at least 30 minutes a day. And that's at the low end. At least 30 minutes. But we're so busy doing our thing and trying to make our thing work. Come on. We haven't even gotten the word in us to confess it. Hallelujah. But after God's word, the second building block I told you was your faith. See, your faith is what I call the title deed. Hallelujah. See, if you've got a paid off house or paid off piece of property, you get a deed with that say that that's yours. It's yours. So faith is our title deeds or our assurance for debt release. Let me take you to the word of God in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I like to give you a lot of word because I don't want you to depend upon what I believe. I want you to depend upon what God has said.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, which means the proof or the title deed, amen, of things not seen. See, once faith gets in there and you believe it, hallelujah. That's why God says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You can substitute that word belief for faith. Hallelujah. See, a title deed signifies two things. First of all, it signifies or it indicates that something exists. If you got the deeds to a house, that means the house exists somewhere. It exists somewhere. Secondly, it indicates that somebody owns it. And on the title deed, it'll have a name. So it signifies that something exists, and then it also signifies that somebody owns it. A deed is never drawn up for something that does not exist. That would be ridiculous. It doesn't. So ridiculous also is claiming something that you don't have the deed for. Let me just say that. It's ridiculous to claim that you have something that you don't have the deed for. And this is where you get the faith. See, when you believe that you believe and then act upon your belief, see, that's that title deed that you need to have. I hope you understand what I'm saying here today. But once faith set in, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hallelujah. That's why the word is so important. That's why I gave you that first. You got to know what God is saying. Pretty soon, listen to me, pretty soon when you take that title deed in, it'll just stick with you. Hallelujah. You must build up your faith. How? To the point where you have assurance that you will indeed receive what you are confessing. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I laugh at all of us. I'm saying, Lord, what is it going to take for us to get to the point where we start walking like you want us to walk? What is it going to get to the point? How are we going to get to the point where we stop trying to do things in our own power? When only the only thing we ever have to do is what God tells us to do. You say, well, I know more than that. You don't know nothing. Compared to God. I don't care what your experience in life has been. I don't care what kind of education you get. We don't know anything.
Right.
Nothing. But God's got it all. Amen? He does. Hallelujah. The Bible is our book of title deeds. It covers everything from prosperity and debt collection to healing to restoration to deliverance to salvation and long life. Everything. It's in there. Once it gets in you. Once it gets in you. See, no matter what I say about debt collection, there's going to be some folks sitting here say, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Look, God will tell you how to do this thing. Get in the word. Find those scriptures that talks about God's taking care of your debt, taking care of all your needs. Find those scriptures. Get them in your heart. Hallelujah. Get them in there until faith develops. Faith for what? Faith for what God has already said. That's what this whole thing is all about. Oh, it's so simple, but we make it so hard. You see, it's important that you diligently, and I use that word, diligently guard the title deeds that you deposit in your heart. It's important. You got to keep them in there because they'll be so valuable to you. It only takes a moment for Satan to steal your deed. How's he steal them, preacher? He steals them with doubt. He steals them with fear. He steals it with neglect. He steals them with complacency. Hallelujah. So you got to guard those title deeds once they get inside of it. Because the devil, come on. Because remember he told Eve, did God really say that?
Yeah.
Now you think he won't tell you that? Did God really say that? The Bible said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the devil will come to you and say, did God really say that? And you'll lose that faith. So it takes the Word of God as a building block first, and then it takes faith built upon the Word of God. And then the last one of those building blocks is your confession. Everybody say your confession. See, it's got to come out. You got to confess this thing to the point where you can walk in it and believe it. Listen, we're coming to the end of whatever this whole process is. Listen, and God is looking for people that will believe him. See, if you believe God, you don't have to be broke. Amen. If you believe God, you don't have to be sick. Amen. Hello? If you believe God, you don't have to be confused. Amen. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for church goers. You know why we go to church? Because God said, forsake not the gathering together of yourselves. I don't know why it's so hard for us to believe God. Believe God. You know, even when we accept the fact that God wants me to go to this local assembly, and you say, well, this is the place God wants me to go. But then you go every 4 weeks or every 6 weeks. Wait a minute. God's already said his word, forsake not the gathering together of yourselves. So when we come together, something must happen that would not happen if we don't come together. And if God has put you in that local assembly, then you're important to that local assembly. So if you're not there, hello, something is missing. But the devil will come and say, you don't need to go today. You went last week. Now I'm going to tell you something. God will never talk like that to you. So when you hear that voice from now on, you know it's the devil. Amen? Amen? Trying to get you from either receiving something or giving something to that flock. Amen? We ought to have it in their mind. Listen to me. We ought to have it in our mind. Listen, if I can get there, I will be there. Amen? If I can get there, I will be there. God understands. If God puts you on the job, he placed you there. So your job may dictate to you not being there. Okay. God will work that out. But you need to have in your heart, if I can get there, I will be there. We need to start taking God seriously, folks. Amen? God is a good God. The third one is your confession. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. For those that get in their heart, for those that say, come on, what God says, and let faith build up, and they constantly say what God says, they shall have it. They shall have it. The more you confess your debt release, the faster it becomes rhema word to you or real to you. Hallelujah. When Sister Eve and I start confessing to be totally out of debt, let me tell you something. Listen, it seems like money just coming from you. People say, well, you know, this is closing down, so we owe you this kind of money. This is shutting down, so we owe you this kind of money. I say, why in the goodness of money? Well, I ain't sending it back. And before we know it, there was no more debt. There was no more debt. So I said, God, what am I going to do? There ain't nobody to pay. He said, just be good to Sister Eva. Just give her a heart's desire. Amen? Just make sure there's always some money in her pocketbook. Just make sure she can buy whatever she want to buy. Amen? Just make sure she can go on whatever trip she want to go to. Amen? Just whatever she wants, just be good to her. I'm going to catch that revelation soon. God is a good God all the time, folks. Listen, I want to close up. Thank God for my beautiful wife. I really thank God for her. I want to close with these keys. The keys to get you started on the road to debt release. It's just some mechanical things you need to do. First of all, you need to diligently search the scripture for your title deed, for whatever it is you need. Search the scripture for that. Isaiah 43:26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare you, that thou mayest be justified. See, in your inheritance is listed in Deuteronomy. We're not going to turn to that. I'm not going to put it on the screen. But your inheritance is listed in Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses. You need to read those 14 verses. God says all of this belongs to you. To you. And when in doubt, just check the word. Just check the word for your title. Am I entitled to this? Go in the word and find it. Find it. Second key is, after you've diligently searched the scripture, then write the scripture down. Everybody say, write the scripture down. Now, you know we don't do that. If the preacher don't say it, that's it. Write the scripture down. Yeah. Habakkuk 2:2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Why? That he may run that readeth it. Write it down. Don't take for a moment. You find that scripture that promised you your title deed, whatever it is you need, whether it's money, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whatever, whether it's deliverance. When you get that, hallelujah, write it down. Write it down. Write it down just so you can get it in your heart. Take time. Act like you believe this stuff. Post those things that you write down someplace where you can see them. The more you see them, the more real they will be to you. Put it in your bedroom. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it where you can see them. All right? Now, this is just for you. Don't try to impress anybody by taking it to work and just spreading it. Look, nobody cares. Do this for you. For you. God is a good God. The third thing you need to do after you write them down is say them aloud several times a day. Now, I'm not talking about the whole Bible. It might be just one verse that you need. Get that. Psalms 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate. How often? Day and night. Say it. Say it. See, when you boldly declare your right to those title deeds, you give power and authority to what you say. God's word is his voice, and all creation make the necessary adjustment to bring his word to pass. Amen. We've got to divorce religion. Amen. We have to divorce that. Amen. Come on and walk in the newness that God has given us. Walk in this thing. Hallelujah. Live this thing. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. The fourth thing you need to do is let patience do his work. See, we're all in a hurry. God's word is incorruptible seed. It's seed that needs time to grow. It needs time to root. It needs time to mature and to sprout.
That's right.
Just because you said it two or three times. Hello. Keep saying it and be patient. Don't try to speed up the process. Because only God knows how, only God knows when, and only God knows where you will receive that manifestation.
Amen.
So be patient. Just be patient. And last but not least, the thing you need to do is guard your mouth. All of us, sometimes we just say the wrong thing. The wrong thing. The wrong thing out of our mouths. See, if you open your mouth and begin to confess things that are negative, it's more than likely you'll end up back at square one. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. I hear people say things about folks around them, the youngest people, young people especially, folks be saying about the young folks, oh, they'll never be anything. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Say what God said. And nowhere in the word God says that person will never be anything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't say things like, I'm broke. How can I be broke and my daddy owns it all?
Amen.
Think about that for a moment. How can I be broke? How in the world can I be broke? You can't be broke if your daddy owns it all. Amen. Hallelujah. In the natural, if your daddy owned a whole bunch of stuff and you did not have anything in your pocket, you would simply go to your daddy. Say, Daddy, can you fill the right pocket up, please? And because he loves you, he'd be glad to do it. Don't say things like, I'll never get out of this debt. Well, you're probably right. You're probably right. Don't say things like this confession stuff that the pastor talking about, this stuff don't work. Don't let it come out of your mouth.
Amen.
It's time for us to diligently apply ourselves to the task, brothers and sisters. It is. Begin to open your mouth and proclaim your right to the title deeds that's in the Bible. That's outlined in the word concerning debt cancellation. You got to get in there to find these scriptures. But listen, we living in the land of Google. There's no such excuse. I don't know where to find that in the Bible. Ask Google. Google can find anything. Anything. You ask Google, just anything. I don't care how you verbalize it. Say, Google, find me some Bible verses about debt cancellation. Google say, yes, sir. And before you can blink an eye, Google had that stuff right there.
Amen.
Right there. So we have no excuse. Google, find me some Bible verses about healing and divine healing. Google, go get those verses for you.
Amen.
And just do it. Only one verse. That's all you need is one. Just one. Hallelujah. Build yourself up to receive whatever you need from the Lord. Remember those three building blocks that I shared with you for debt cancellation. God's word, your faith, and your confession. Once again, God's word, your faith, and your confession. Amen. Amen. Let's make the devil mad.
Amen.
Let's start walking in this stuff. Listen, if you got nothing at all from today, you need to walk away from here realizing that as a born-again believer, you have no business in debt. All right? Even if you got the debt before you got saved, come on. All you need right now is the wisdom of God as to what to do next and believe what he tells you to do. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah for this new life. We thank you for all that you've given us, all that you've done. We just thank you. And we ask, Lord God, collectively here today that you show us, Lord God, even more what steps we need to take, Lord God, to walk in the direction that you have saved us to walk in. Father, we just decree and declare that we are out of debt. Our needs are met and we have plenty more to put in store. Now, Lord God, let those few words sink into the hearts of your people, Lord. Direct them to the verses in your Bible, Lord God, that they